content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from The Washington Post, Scientific American, Newsweek, Yahoo Life, Dogster.com, and Capster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article titled, Moving is Stressful for Pets, Here's How to Help, by Colleen Grablick. Keep dogs and cats happy and safe on moving day with this expert advice. Bubble wrapping your entire life and packing it into boxes is stressful enough. Add pets to the equation and the process gets even more complicated. A little foresight, planning, and patience, though, can go a long way toward making the big move easier on both you and your animals. If you're creating a checklist for your move, create a checklist for moving your dog too, says Sierra Moberg, co-owner of Instinct Dog Behavior and Training in Washington, D.C. Here's what she and other animal behavior experts have to say about transitioning your dog or cat to your next home. Prepping for the move. First, figure out how you'll get your pet to your new place. If you need to fly your pet, you'll want to start getting your ducks in a row a few months before takeoff. Look at the regulations of the airline you're flying and where you're going. These will determine what health certificates your pet needs and help you select an appropriate carrier. Most cats and small dogs should be light enough to ride along with you in the cabin, but larger animals may need to be stowed and their kennels need to abide by International Air Transport Association regulations. At the recommendation of the American Veterinary Medical Association, most airlines will not accept a cat or dog that's under sedative medication, as the effects can be unpredictable at high altitudes. Sedation can interfere with the animal's ability to move and adjust its position and thermoregulate, says Carlo Siracusa, a veterinarian and professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. He adds that sedation can also cause respiratory depression or breathing to become slower and shallow. The temperature of the plane and being confined in a carrier can pose additional risks for dogs. If your dog has problems of excessive anxiety, fear, or aggression, always consider whether flying with them is really necessary, Siracusa says. If you absolutely must stow your large dog or cat, you should get them adjusted at home to their crate well in advance, according to Angela Passman, a board member with the International Pet and Animal Transportation Association, who runs her own animal travel company. Siracusa also recommends figuring out the temperature of the plane and adding bedding that will keep your pet as comfortable as possible, as well as consulting with a vet about what food your pet should eat and when to eat it before a flight. We find the biggest problem, especially in the summer, is that everyone waits until the last minute to begin with their travel plan, Passman says. Plan ahead. Not getting them acclimated to the proper crate, that's the biggest problem we have. If you're avoiding the airport and opting for a drive, make sure to map out stopping points for potty breaks and veterinary centers along your route in case of an emergency. And if you're planning on staying a night in a hotel, triple check its pet policy. Most owners know whether their car is a dreaded or celebrated experience for the cat or dog. If it's the former, go for a few practice spins before embarking on a long journey. In an ideal world, it'd be helpful to show your dog or cat around a new neighborhood or house before the move, according to Amy Pike, a veterinary behaviorist with the Animal Behavior Wellness Center in Fairfax County, Virginia. It's not always possible, but if your next place is a short distance away, incorporating the new neighborhood into a few walks leading up to the move, or even playing outside the home, can get dogs acclimated to the scent of their new digs. You might try letting a cat explore your future bedroom or living room before the full move. The more you can take them over, the better, because that way it's like, oh, that's just this new fun place that we go to. And then they can associate it with their favorite games, tug-of-war, ball player treats, Pike says. You'll also want to scope out any potential problems for your pet while in the new home. For example, Moberg says, hardwood or slippery floors can be physically uncomfortable for dogs, especially older ones, so you'll want to pick up some rugs or mats before you settle in. On moving day, according to Pike, who has navigated 8 moves with her pets, it's imperative to find a safe place to keep your animals on moving day, away from all the hubbub. Whether it's movers, friends, or family helping you out, there will probably be a lot of commotion. Not only can this be distressing for your pet, it can lead to a disaster. No matter how many times you tell people, hey, we have pets, keep the doors closed, somebody forgets, says Pike, who has heard about numerous instances of cats or dogs running away during a move. So it's definitely best to keep them at a boarding kennel or at a friend's house. If that's not an option, put your pet in an enclosed area of the new home while the rest of the move is carried out. Ideally, this is a room that your pet will always be allowed in. This way, they can immediately start to claim their territory and make it their own. Leave them with some toys, a frozen treat, or a food puzzle to work on as you unload your stuff. For a cat, don't forget to give them a litter box. Once you're in the new space, amid all the change, it's important to maintain some threads of familiarity for your pets. Just like humans, our animals can't find comfort in routine. Especially when we're changing their environment, keeping their routine can help them adjust a little bit easier with less stress, Moberg says. This may look different for every pet, but in broad strokes, try to keep your dog or cat on a similar schedule in your new place as they had in their old home. Feed, walk, and play with them at the same time. Don't bury their favorite item in a box. Make sure their favorite blanket or that random sock they've decided is the most special object in the world is readily available. If you're dealing with a particularly anxious dog or cat, a change in noise level from one home to another can be stressful. A move from a relatively quiet space to a location with more windows or street traffic can result in some unhappy behavior. For example, incessant barking or accidents in the house among dogs, or for cats, hiding or going to the bathroom outside the litter box. Moberg suggests using a white noise machine to drown out cars and strangers or playing calming sounds over a speaker for the first few days. You can also hang thick curtains or apply frosted film to your windows to prevent your animal from getting too worked up over the new sights and sounds. Set up the environment to prevent undesirable behavior from even taking place, Moberg says. You can also do this after the undesirable behavior has started, but it's ideal to prevent it. As much as you may want to host friends to celebrate your new space, Moberg says, you may want to hold off on the housewarming party until your pet is better situated. Let them decompress and don't do anything overwhelming, she says. And anyway, you could probably benefit from a little downtime, too. Next, we'll move on to an article from Scientific American titled, How to Protect Pets and Backyard Chickens from Bird Flu, by Jude Coleman. As bird flu outbreaks continue to affect animals, experts answer questions about keeping pets and their owners healthy. With avian influenza blowing up egg prices and killing chickens around the country at an alarming rate, the U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced a strategy to combat outbreaks. The $1 billion plan will primarily aid poultry farmers, but it will also reduce regulations on backyard coops to alleviate pressure on the egg industry. Meanwhile, the virus continues to infect cattle and other animals, including cats and rodents. Where does that leave people with pets or backyard chickens? Scientific American spoke with experts about managing bird flu risks for animals and their owners. What pets are at higher risk for bird flu? The current circulating strain of highly pathogenic H5N1, avian influenza, is particularly deadly in cats. Around two-thirds of those infected will die, says Jane Sykes, a veterinarian at the University of California, Davis, who specializes in infectious diseases in cats and small dogs. Dogs can be infected as well, but they seem to be more resistant to getting ill. If dogs were as susceptible as cats, we would have seen it by now, Sykes says. Eating raw food amplifies a pet's risk. Sykes says because that can expose them to meat that is contaminated with bird flu or other pathogens. Animals that live on dairy farms or that have access to unpasteurized milk also have elevated risk because research has found raw milk from infected cows has very high levels of the virus. Likewise, cats and dogs living on a poultry farm or with backyard chickens are more likely to be exposed to the virus. How can owners keep their pets safe? Keeping cats indoors greatly limits their exposure to wild birds and bird feces, both of which can carry the virus. Feeding pets heat-processed commercial food can help them avoid exposure. If you prepare homemade meals for your animal companions, make sure meat is cooked to the correct temperature, 165 degrees Fahrenheit, 74 degrees Celsius, is recommended for poultry, for example. Experts generally recommend making sure your pet avoids any dead animals, not just birds. Rodents have also tested positive for H5N1, and while it is not confirmed, they can be a route of transmission to other animals. Sykes says that it is possible. Following these steps significantly lowers the chance that pets, particularly more vulnerable cats, will get sick. Psych notes that relatively few cats are known to have been infected, but reported cases are likely a tiny fraction of what exists out there. I think it does represent the tip of the iceberg, she said. What's the risk to backyard chickens? Like commercially farmed poultry, backyard chickens are also vulnerable to the bird flu. Several factors contribute to risk levels, says Maurice Piteski, an epidemiologist and veterinarian at the University of California, Davis. Ducks and other waterfowl are a major reservoir for the bird flu virus, making backyard chicken flocks located near ponds or wetlands more susceptible, particularly if the chickens are free range. In general, allowing poultry to roam outside will increase the risk because that creates a higher chance of exposure to wild birds. Anytime you have a potential for spatial overlap between waterfowl and a domestic species, you have a risk, Piteski says. We do have situations where backyard chickens die. Chicken owners who hunt waterfowl can also put their flock in danger if they wear their hunting garb in the coop. Their clothes or shoes could be contaminated after they've spent time in wet habitats. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also notes that tools used to clean game should be kept away from domestic poultry and pet birds. How do I know if my animal has bird flu, and then what do I do? Chickens infected with highly pathogenic avian influenza will often stop laying eggs and will typically die quickly. Ideally, if the bird dies, it should be tested by a state veterinary lab. If a lab confirms the chicken died of bird flu, the rest of the flock will need to be culled. A cat or dog infection can be trickier to identify because many bird flu symptoms, such as runny nose or trouble breathing, look the same as those of other respiratory illnesses. Further complicating things, the virus can also cause neurological symptoms that resemble rabies. Pets should receive their up-to-date rabies vaccinations to rule out this out and protect against rabies. If a cat or dog seems sick, take it to the vet and mention any possible H5N1 exposures, such as a recent history of drinking raw milk. A cat with respiratory symptoms is more likely to be ill with something other than bird flu, Sykes says. What's the risk of humans getting the virus from pets? In the U.S., most confirmed human cases of poultry-transmitted bird flu come from commercial poultry farms. But at least two humans' hospitalizations in the country, including one resulting in death, have been linked to backyard flocks. In both cases, the people who were infected had underlying health conditions that made them more vulnerable to severe disease. There's always a risk of contracting viruses from backyard chickens, yet following proper safety measures will lower it. The chance of getting salmonella from backyard-raised eggs is probably still higher right now, Piteski says. The chance of catching bird flu from pets is also relatively low. Because of the proximity of pets at home and the fact that the virus is shed through bodily fluids, including saliva, however, there's still a real transmission risk, Sykes says. There are currently no confirmed cases of transmission to humans from infected pet cats, but a recent CDC report on H5N1 infections in two pet cats in the homes of dairy workers has prompted some researchers to suggest humans might transmit the virus to felines. As with most infectious diseases, an important preventative practice is hand washing. Soap up after handling things that contact wild birds, such as bird feeders. If you have a bird flock, wash your hands after you've cleaned any chickens or eggs or have cleaned the coop. Wear a designated cleaning outfit and shoes that don't come inside the house. The CDC also recommends donning other protective gear, such as an N95 or surgical mask and goggles when mucking out the coop. Also clean up any spilled feed that will attract wild birds or rodents. Experts additionally recommend enclosing animal pens and coops with fencing, including on top, to keep spaces free of rodent wild birds. Getting a flu shot will help reduce the chance of seasonal influenzas mingling with H5N1 if you're exposed to the bird flu. It can potentially result in viruses mixing genetic materials and creating new human adaptive strains. To me, this is the worst animal disease outbreak we've ever had, Piteski says, and we don't know how to control it at this point. Next, we'll move on to an article from Newsweek titled, Five Ways to Avoid Breaking Your Cat's Heart, by Maria Azura Volpe. As a cat owner, you've probably seen your fur baby isolating or suddenly trying to avoid you after telling them off. And that's because, just like us, our felines have feelings and they can get hurt too. Domestic cats are often compared to toddlers when it comes to how smart they are. And this can be true for their emotional intelligence too. Science says that cats can experience all six basic emotions usually seen in a 2.5-year-old child, which include surprise, fear, disgust, sadness, happiness, and anger. But what exactly is it that hurts our cat's feelings? And how can you make it up to them after breaking their little heart? To shed light on this topic, Newsweek spoke to animal behavior experts. 1. Ignoring your cat when they demand attention. Michelle Nagelschneider, a cat behaviorist at the Cat Behavior Clinic, told Newsweek that it's a myth that cats are solitary species. On the contrary, they have a huge social repertoire with other cats and will also develop this with humans. Ignoring your cat or not giving it meaningful interaction each day could create anxiety and stress for the feline. 2. Picking up an adult cat by the scruff of the neck. While it's usually fine to pick a cat up by the scruff of the neck, it is not recommended when it comes to adult cats. Because they have a larger body mass than kittens, picking them up this way can stress them out and harm them. It can also put unnecessary strain on their neck and spine, which can lead to injuries including muscle strain or even fractures. 3. Forcing them into uncomfortable situations. According to Nagelschneider, making a cat endure excessive handling, dressing them up when they clearly dislike it, or forcing them into interactions with other pets or people can create stress or fear. Unfortunately, we see a lot of this on social media, and it's inhumane and goes against basic animal welfare, she says. 4. Reprimanding them for misbehaving. Another way you can involuntarily hurt your cat is reprimanding them when they misbehave, which may seem like an easy way to train them, but it actually has the opposite effect on them because they do not understand it. Preston Tirano, a veterinarian and spokesperson at Felix Cat Insurance, told Newsweek that yelling, screaming, and physical punishment should never be used when training or communicating with your cat. Positive reinforcement and encouragement are the best way to accomplish healthy, happy training as well as an increase in the human and animal bond, he said. 5. Abandoning them or surrendering them. Abandoning your cat or leaving them outside a shelter because you haven't managed to train them properly also breaks their little heart. Of the 6.3 million animals that enter U.S. shelters every year, at least 3.2 million are cats. While 100,000 of them are returned to their owners, and about 2.1 million are rehomed, at least 530,000 cats are euthanized every year across the country. Meanwhile, other things that can break your feline's heart include neglecting their health. Neglecting their health is another way to fail your cat. Veterinarian Dr. Brad Crone explains that ignoring clinical signs like coughing and lethargy might be the closest thing to actually breaking your cat's heart. Cats of all ages are prone to a disease called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or HCM. The main clinical signs of HCM are coughing and lethargy. If you observe your cat coughing and lethargic, bring them to your veterinarian for a physical exam, he said. Being inconsistent with feedings. Feeding them too early or too late can also have a negative impact on them. According to Toronto, cats thrive on routine, so keeping consistent feeding times is one way to avoid breaking your cat's heart. Leaving their litter box dirty. Leaving their litter dirty also disrupts their daily routine. Can also expose them to a variety of health issues, ranging from urinary tract infections to respiratory problems. A litter box that is not cleaned regularly is also a breeding ground for bacteria and parasites, which expose your cat to the risk of contracting various illnesses. How can you make it up to your upset cat? When your cat is upset, creating a calm and inviting environment and providing them with plenty of opportunities for play can help them feel better. Cats don't have a good short-term memory, so they're not likely to remember what happened earlier in the day. Treating them with love and respect and always making sure you meet their needs will help create a long-lasting bond that is unlikely to be broken by an occasional late feeding or litter cleaning. Next, we'll move on to an article on Yahoo Life titled, A North Carolina Animal Shelter Gets Creative with Poorly Drawn Pets Fundraiser by Julia Gomez. Dogs are constantly making their humans smile, but an animal shelter in North Carolina figured out just how happy pet owners get when they're getting a poorly drawn photo of their dog. The Cumberland County Animal Services in North Carolina raised over $2,000 by selling poorly drawn photos of people's pets, according to its Facebook post. Every year, before kitten season starts in spring, the shelter holds a poorly drawn pets fundraiser. Anna Hill, the rescue fosters coordinator, told Yahoo Life and USA Today. People can pay $10, and volunteers and employees from the shelter will send them a sketch of their pets. But the results may vary. Those willing to gamble $10 can get works of art inspired by their pups or a very cute scribble. Volunteers and staff are a hidden Picasso, an actual artist, Or you might get something that looks like the work of a chicken, but we'll give it our best shot, the shelter said in their post on Facebook. What is the fundraiser for? The fundraiser helps the shelter collect money for its medical fund, according to its Facebook page. The fund helps treat animals' injuries, covers life-saving procedures, or critical care. We get several dogs who come in injured, whether it's a broken leg, or we see a lot of animals that are hit by cars, Hill said. It's more obvious that animals with severe injuries will have their care covered by the medical fund, but that money also goes to looking up microchips in dogs that could help the shelter reunite them with their owners. That care can be extremely expensive, says Hill. Especially recently, it has skyrocketed. In the past, the medical fund has helped dogs like Geneva, who's currently in foster care, according to Hill. The dog was hit by a car and her hip was dislocated. The shelter's medical fund covered the surgery she needed to fix her leg, and she's now available for adoption. The shelter's favorite drawings. One of Hill's favorite drawings was made for a woman who said she purchased a portrait of her 16-year-old pug that recently passed away. The shelter made sure to assign the portrait to a staff member who was a fairly good artist, she said. Another favorite, which was funnier than it was good, was one of a little scruffy dog. It kind of looked like a gremlin, says Hill. How to get a portrait of my animal. The shelter creates portraits of any animal, not just cats and dogs. Hill, who also runs a small hobby farm with around 25 animals on it, got a portrait of her alpaca during a previous fundraiser. Unfortunately, the shelter's fundraiser has ended for this year. But there's hope for 2026 if you want to get a portrait. At the beginning of each year, people can send in photos of their pets and get the best, or maybe worst, portrait of their best friends to cherish forever. Next, we'll move on to Dogster.com with an article from Dr. Karen. This program today, this month's program, has Artificial Intelligence Takes on Cancer, the only AI Dr. Karen doesn't hate. Cancer. It's a word we hope we never hear, but one that we almost certainly will, at least once in our lifetime. In dogs, cancer can take many forms, but thanks to advancements made in both human and veterinary medicine, our treatment options are growing every day. Although chemotherapy has been around for decades, it was recently introduced to the team behind a pretty incredible new technique that is using artificial intelligence to create individualized treatment protocols for dogs. Before I get stuck into what I learned about this amazing technology, I need to be upfront about something. I hate AI. As someone who grew up watching iRobot and reading the book, Battlestar Galactica, Terminator, and, well, AI, creepy robot Haley Joel Osment, Shudder, I'm perplexed by the fact that we are so happily and sometimes unwittingly welcoming AI into our lives. Even as I type, I have to brush away Gemini's offer to summarize or polish my work with the same level of irritation and disdain with which I would brush away a mosquito or fly. Mind you, I initially thought that it was offering to translate my text into Polish, which I thought was a bit odd, something about my surname perhaps, but I digress. As a vet, I worry about how deeply AI is invading the information being taught to unwary students and being shared and accessed by owners desperate to find answers online. AI might be able to digest and regurgitate this sort of information on command, but it can never replace the nuance of experience or think outside the box, something that is often needed in veterinary care. As a writer, I'm frustrated to see talented individuals being usurped by clunky imitations, knowing that these unpaid authors will soon have absorbed enough to be indistinguishable from the real thing. At the moment, I still catch glimpses of Joey from Friends and his humid, prepossessing Homo sapiens with full-size aortic pumps. Artists, photographers, designers, and other creators are finding themselves out of work, unable to compete with the sheer volume of almost perfect creations that AI can churn out. Without the pesky need to worry about paying for food, clothing, housing, etc., it seems to me that instead of making our lives easier, AI is steadily sucking the joy and authenticity from them. But when I spoke to Dr. Alona Holcomb and the team at ImpreMed, I discovered how they've created a new way to beat cancer that simply wouldn't be possible without artificial intelligence. Before I go into the details, let's look at a quick summary of how chemotherapy works. A summary I wrote without the help of AI. Thank you very much. What is chemotherapy? Strictly speaking, chemotherapy refers to a treatment that uses potentially harmful chemicals to kill or suppress harmful cells. These cytotoxic chemicals target rapidly dividing cells with neoplastic, cancerous cells, typically being the fastest growing cells in the body. The problem with chemotherapy is that it doesn't differentiate between neoplastic and non-neoplastic cells. So other rapidly dividing cells can also be targeted, with hair follicles, bone marrow, and mucous membranes being at the top of the list. This is why we often see hair loss, anemia, immunosuppression, mouth ulcers, vomiting, and diarrhea in patients recovering from chemotherapy. In humans, the aim is to eradicate cancer completely, and these side effects are often tolerated, suffered, and managed as part of the process. When it comes to our pets, exposing them to such horrific effects would be cruel, as they cannot understand why it's happening nor consent to the treatment. Instead, we reach a compromise whereby we use drug doses that have little or no significant side effects, but we rarely achieve a complete cure. There are those lucky cases where cancer is completely eradicated, but it is more common that we buy a few more good months or years with our dog. Chemotherapy may be used on its own or in combination with other forms of treatment, such as surgery or radiation therapy. In dogs, it's most commonly used to treat lymphoma, leukemia, high-grade mast cell tumors, and bladder tumors. Chemotherapy drug selection. Traditionally, samples taken from your pet, blood, bone marrow, tissues, or cell samples, are used to make a more specific diagnosis of the type or stage of neoplasia we're dealing with. This is where it gets exciting. A relative newcomer to the world of human and veterinary medicine, ImpreMed is a diagnostic service that utilizes artificial intelligence to test the neoplastic cells from individual patients, both human and pet, to formulate a chemotherapy drug protocol that will be most effective, not just against the type of cancer, but specifically against your dog's cancer. How does it work? When we deal with infection, the best way to ensure we use the best treatment is by running a culture and sensitivity. A sample of the infected cells is grown in the lab so the pathogen, bacteria, or yeast can be identified, and then different antimicrobial treatments are applied to see which is the most effective at eradicating the pathogen. This way, we know exactly what we're treating, and we're starting with the right antibiotic first time. In a similar but much more complicated way, the AI program pioneered by ImpreMed isolates and identifies the cancer cells and runs them through multiple drug combinations to find out which ones work best. Additionally, the technology is able to detect and predict how many different cell lines may emerge, factoring into this treatment formulation. The result is a chemotherapy protocol that we know, before even starting treatment, your dog's cancer will respond to, completely removing the guesswork, trial and error, and drug substitution that is a common feature of traditional chemotherapy. The technique requires no more sampling than would ordinarily form a part of your dog's chemotherapy treatment and takes about 1 week to formulate a personalized prediction profile of their cancer. The thing that really stood out to me when talking to Dr. Holcomb was that she is clearly an animal lover and is generally interested in making this tech accessible to everyone. The company has largely absorbed most of the research and development cost in order to offer the service at the lowest price they can, and I truly hope they are able to continue their work this way. It's so hard to find an ethically run biotech company that genuinely prioritizes patient care. This article has been cut for time. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.